Hello and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. I'm going to talk about some books that I recently acquired. These came from that collection of the guy selling back his stuff because he's retired. This was a good collection because I hit the threshold and I got most of these for free, which means if you spend so much, after a certain point, at 40%, and you hit the 50% level, then you get whatever the extra 10%, if that makes any sense. So I got a lot of these for free, so that was cool. So it's Green Lantern number 31. This one has a cover where it says, "Here you are, folks, the biggest bargain you've ever seen. Power rings, only $1 a piece. Power rings for sale." Then we got number 32. This is an iconic cover that I've seen so many times. I think I never owned this particular book, but I owned it in reprint, like one of the DC Giants or something. And it's basically Hal getting pulled out of his lantern. And it's called The Power Battery Peril. And then on issue 36... It's Green Lantern says, "I've been turned into a robot and didn't even know it. It's the secret of the power ringed robot." It's like Green Lantern's a robot. And then on 39 we have Green Lantern in a ring and he's fighting a character called Brutus Force in a boxing ring. Number 41 is a Star Sapphire issue, and those are always some of my favorites. Number 42, I think it's the first appearance of the Warlock, and it has Zatanna in it. So it says, "The Warlock in Green Lantern and Zatanna in the palm of his hand." So it also has... It has some interesting things on the bottom. It says, "Will Green Lantern's turn to help to Zatanna find her missing father? And will he succeed where Hawkman and Adam have already failed?" We got 44, which is Evil Star versus Green Lantern, Hal Jordan. This one's got the whole Green Lantern Corps on issue 46, and they're carrying him in. They're carrying him like he's dead. It says, "The day he died, Green Lantern became a living legend," and it has the whole Corps and the Guardians kind of carrying his dead body. It's a really cool cover. Number 51 has Green Lantern's evil alter ego. It's got like some brutish characters that are, they look like Neanderthals that are holding him back. And then there's a guy in the back with, like, he's got a helmet on. He's like controlling those Neanderthals. So let me see if that guy's like a first appearance, because I don't know who that is. So I'm going to go to my database, Green Lantern. My Green Lantern collection is really close. Most of the stuff I'm missing is like 1 through 10. And I have issue 7. So this is number 51. Let's see if they... No, they don't mention this guy's ego, this character's name, so... Then we have another iconic cover. It's 52. It's got him and Sinestro. And on one side, Hal is going, "In the brightest day and the blackest night, no evil shall escape my sight. Let..." And then Sinestro's finishing it. "Let those who worship justice might beware of my power, Sinestro's light." I like that. This is number 54, Green Lantern versus the Missile Man. Really nice cover. 54. And then we got number 63, which is Green Lantern. There's one side of the cover is like really yellow, like his body's turned yellow, which is his weakness. And the other side... It's so weird. It's like his whole body's yellow, but the background's yellow. It says, "Has the world ceased to exist, or have I?" Then we have Green Lantern number 66. This is in the year 4708 AD, a year to visit. And Green Lantern is getting hit with eggs and apples and oranges and all kinds of stuff. And it looks like his Green Lantern socks are worn thin, like when you stretched out your socks. Green Lantern number 68. This is looks like Hal's looking over a grave site, and he's got the lantern in his costume there, and it says, "If only I dare tell the world the truth," that he's Green Lantern. So, I mean, just for statistics, let's see. I think the only issues I'm missing are 89. That's a Dennis O'Neill and Neil Adams one. Just one of those. And then we go to 81. Okay, so that's another one I'm missing. That's a Dennis O'Neill. And 78. So those are the... And I'm missing 75, which is a Gil Kane and John Broome issue. 71, which is a Gil Kane and John Broome, and a 70. And then we have a full run until we hit 61. I need 61, which is a Mike Friedrich and Gil Kane. And number 60 is a Gardner Fox and Gil Kane. So we're getting close. And that takes us all the way to issue 37. I still need to, which is the first appearance of Evil Star I need to get. And 34, which is a Hector Hammond issue I'm missing. 33 versus Dr. Light I'm missing. Those are Gil Kane and Gardner Fox issues. I'm missing number 30, which is the first appearance of Katma Tui, which is the female Green Lantern that's real popular. She was the one dating Jon Stewart. And she got killed. But that one is John Byrne and Gil Kane. I'm missing 28, which is a Gardner Fox, Gil Kane. 27 is a Gardner Fox, Gil Kane. I'm missing 24, which is the first appearance of the Shark. That's a Gil Kane, Gardner Fox. 21 I'm missing. First appearance of Dr. Polaris, and that's a Gil Kane. And then number 19, the first appearance of Sonar, I'm missing that one. And then I'm missing pretty much 1 through 13, but I have issue 7, which is the first appearance of Sinestro. So I have the first appearance of Sinestro. So other than that, I have every single volume of Green Lantern and Green Lantern Corps. Minus the Golden Age Green Lantern. So that's pretty impressive. So that should happen soon, except for the probably... Man, those first five are quite expensive. So it might be a long while before I get like 1 through 6. I had the opportunity to get 1 and 2, but I didn't. And then in this collection, I also got some back issues of Justice League of America. This is number 17. I got number 27. 17 is the Tornado Tyrant, who's, I believe, is the prototype for Red Tornado. And then 27 is this weird alien creature enslaving the Justice League. It says, "The Eye Who Defeated the Justice League." And then we got, this is a really cool cover, Justice League number 37. This is a Justice Society cover, which has, it says, "What, not a single member of the Justice League on the cover?" And you got, you know, all the classics. You got Jay Garrick, Flash, Mr. Terrific, Dr. Fate, Alan Scott, Green Lantern, and the Atom. Okay, I'm back. Cough attack. Then we have Justice League number 38. This is a Crisis on Earth A. It's got on the Lawless League of Earth-A, which is the Atom, the Batman. The Batman looks really crazy. He's got like a 4 o'clock shadow. The Flash. Green Lantern, John Jones, and Superman, who's blonde in this world. And then on Earth-2, it's got Atom, Dr. Fate, Flash, Green Lantern, Hawkman, and Mr. Terrific. Never in comic book history has there been a fight to equal a colossal battle waged between superheroes and the astonishing supervillains as in the Crisis on Earth-A. Then we got an 80-page giant, Justice League number 39, which is looks like it's reprinting Brave and the Bold, their very first appearances. We got number 66, which is Solomon Grundy, Blockbuster, and Anti-Matter Man. It looks like they're fighting Wildcat, Sandman, and Batman. Then we have another Crisis book. This one has the Justice League, Superman, Flash, Green Lantern, Hawkman, Atom, special guest star Robin on one side. And these are the covers that have all the heroes on the left. And then the Justice Society roster, Superman, Flash, Green Lantern, Hawkman, Atom, and special guest star Robin. So their version of Robin. It has Solomon Grundy on the cover. And it says, "Me Solomon Grundy, me mightier than Superman, me mightier than all superheroes." And then we got another 80-page giant. This is Justice League of America, number 93. And that takes us to, this is another reprint issue. Justice League is, I'm close to finishing. Again, I'm missing like number one through something, plus the two Brave and the Bolds, and then I have every single incarnation of Justice League of America, Justice League, Justice League International, Justice League Antarctica, everything. Justice League Europe, Justice League Task Force, I have it all. So many of them. Justice League Elite, everything. So once I complete this, again, some of those early issues are real expensive. Don't know if it'll ever happen, but I have a few of the single issues, so I mean, single digit issues, so might happen. I might run into some copies at the comic shop and get a huge discount and decide to do it. So that's it for this week, and we'll now talk about the books. Bye. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. And this is books that we're covering are from March 7th through March 13th of 2016. Five is I love it, four is I really like it, three is I like it, two is did not like it, one is I hated it. And another week with no two out of one out of fives or two out of fives, a good week. A lot of 5 out of 5, so that was a really good read week that week. The totals are we had two Valiant comics, one Overground, three Marvel, one Dynamite, 27 DC, one Dark Horse. And you could tell that this was a geek brunch week because I like spread some other books throughout there. Starting at the Oh, this is a total of 35 comic books. And starting at the bottom, we have Moon Knight number 3. Okay, this is the Warren Ellis series, the Done in Ones. I wasn't feeling it as much as I did later on. The Warren Ellis series, I mean, it's a lot of people seem to love it. But the thing I don't like about it is it was kind of all over the place. They're good done in one stories, but there was like no building element to them. I mean, there was very small ones, but it was so different every issue. So that may play well with some people, because like Jonah Hex, that always read well as a done in one story, but This one, I'd rather see an ongoing story with Moon Knight. And we'll talk about Moon Knight more in the upcoming weeks, because what I did is I marathoned through that volume and then finished the volume before it and then the Bendis volume. So, yeah, I read a lot of Moon Knight. So the next one that I like slightly better than Moon Knight was Absent Captain number 2 from Overground. This one, I don't think has cracked the 3 out of 5s yet, but I will say I find this story to be the most compelling of all of the John Hughes written stories in it's not the filmmaker John Hughes, but the comic book creator John Hughes. This company is very strange. I'm latching on to it, but it's not really lighting my world on fire, so I don't know why I'm staying. I guess it's more of a curiosity. So that's Absent Captain number 2. I enjoyed it. It had some really cool elements. And this one does build on itself pretty well. Like, if you read 1 and then 2 and then 3, that, you know, this was number 2. They all build on each other. There is an ongoing story that I sort of like. Oh, actually, there was 36 comics. The next one was Imposter, and this one I didn't write down because I have forgot who the publisher was. The publisher is 21 Pulp, so let's correct that, and let's type into the 21 Pulp, and there's one. So that takes us to 36 comics instead of 35. Imposter. So this was a book we covered on Geek Brunch. Bill liked it slightly more than I did, but we both enjoyed it quite a bit. The writer was James Patrick, and the art was Martin Szymanski. This one, man, I could have sworn I read something like it, or maybe it was the solicit, and it just came out, or was solicited a long, long time ago, and just now came out. I can't remember. But this one has a unique twist to it, and it's rated a 4 out of 5. It's the first 4 out of 5. This particular one had a character, and you don't know what's going on at first. You get all these, like, stories happening in different time periods, and what it is barely basically the passing of a baton of a hero to another person, because this guy's had his life expectancy, you know, he's getting ready to pass on. And this superhero is very unique. They call him Imposter because he could actually he's a different character in a different time period. So he might be like a adventurer in one time period. He might be a Batman type character in another time period. He might be something else. He like evolves. He had even a mysticism at one point. And it shows the different incarnations of the same character, but he's different heroes throughout. And he wants to teach his successor how to be that hero. Really unique take, really cool story. I enjoyed it quite a bit. Then we get Ninjak 11 through 12. And I can't remember if this wrapped up the Shadow Man. There's 3 volumes of Ninjak. This is the latest one. The Operation Deadside. No, Operation Deadside was wrapped up in 13. So, having said that, this was the last two, well, the second and third arc of that. And I love the Ninjak stuff. I really enjoyed it. Punk Mambo, I enjoyed her stuff. I enjoyed, really, really enjoyed the story arc. The things I didn't like was they turned Deadside into like Harry Potter world, and that really threw me. For one thing, I'm not a huge Harry Potter fan. And to me, Dead Side has always been more of a creepy aspect, more like hell, than it's been like a fairy tale land of witches and wizards and all this stuff and monsters. And it felt more like Harry Potter, and I didn't like it. And Dead Side also had this part, the part of Dead Side I did like is it seemed to have like a map or it was a world building, but it didn't seem like the landscape was laid out. So like if you read Marvel's Weird World, it's not to that extreme, but it could change. The landscape could change. At least that's what I read into it. And Weird World is awesome because you can never map it. It's constantly changing. So if you try to draw a map, it's useless because the next day it might be something totally different. This was a little bit like that, but to me, it not quite to that extreme. I didn't like the portrayal of Shadow Man in this because he really was Dark's Master Dark's bitch. And when you read the next issue with the big catch, you're like, really? Come on, man. I don't know. I used to like Jack in the original series, and I like the way it started up in this, this volume, and I love the acclaimed Shadow Man. So that tells you a little bit of what I like. So like if you're new to Shadow Man, I think you'll really like this take. You might like the way the Dead Side's being mapped out. I think if you're more into the horror and voodoo aspects of Dead Side, you might not like it so much. I was listening to an interview, shout out to Valiant Central. They recently interviewed Matt Kent, and he said something very interesting. And I think it was portrayed in this writing is like he doesn't really like magic or understands it, so he tries to figure it out. And I think that's why I didn't like the Shadow Man. It's because he doesn't like magic. And to me, voodoo is a huge part of what Shadow Man is and the essence of the character. And I love Matt Kent, but I wasn't crazy about his portrayal. And there was one other thing I didn't like in this arc right here. I think it was number 12, maybe it was 11. But some of the story was told in the now, like here's Ninjak telling the story. And then some of it was told in the narrative through like the organization that Ninjak works for, MI6 or whatever they are. It was told through their eyes, like in the past tense. And I didn't care for how it jumped around. I kind of liked the journey when it was happening real time. But it still was a 4 out of 5, and sometimes I'm more critical with Valiant just because their books are so perfect. So I don't know. Next up was Simon Dark, number 9 and 10. This is a Stephen Niles book. Let's see what year this came out. It was 2007, 2009. It was from DC, and they kind of let Steve Niles invent his own character within Gotham City. And Scott Hampton was the artist. He recently did a GI Zombie story, which was amazing, in Star Spangled Comics and the New 52. This story is working really well. I like it a lot. It's really dark. It's really bizarre. This character is, if you had to like pin say, well, what is he like? Well, he's like a character that was like sewn together with body parts and stuff, and he's kind of like Edward Scissorhands if I had to compare him to anybody. And story works really well. This one is really weird though, because this organization is like releasing this demon spores that are taking over people, and there's like an outbreak going on in Gotham, and that they're doing it through soap. So there's a real popular soap that they're bugging with this stuff. And it's turning everybody into like these zombies. And Simon Dark is going after them. So what else do we got? Sorry about that. Matter of fact, I think I'm going to take a pause right here. All right, I'm back. And the next 4 out of 5 book is Batman Beyond number 10. This continues like the Commando-esque version of Tim Drake in the future. Going to Metropolis to rescue Batman Beyond, Terry McGinnis's brother. I can't remember what his name is, Mike or Mark, maybe. I don't remember. But it's very like Commando-esque. I really enjoy it. It's by Dan Jurgens. Batman Europa. This is the continuation of the Batman Joker team up, where they're both dying and they're trying to get the toxin out of their system and the cure, and they're having to work together. And we got Spider-Man 2099, Volume 2, Number 1. This isn't the new one. This is the one prior to that. And it's essentially establishing the character, Miguel O'Hara, inside of, I think it's inside of our Earth. So, he's basically getting a new apartment. He's meeting people. He's starting his business, but he doesn't want to like say who he is, because in the future he's that leader of that corporation. So he's kind of playing it low. I really, really enjoyed this Peter David story. I think I stopped collecting this, but at some point when I start reading the other issues, I'm going to have to finish it. We got Detective Comics 45 through 49. This is the Jim Gordon story. Peter Tomasi started to take over. Some of this story arc was him teaming up with the Justice League of America, which showed Jim Gordon's like detective skills off, which I really liked. And the next story arc had to do with like this statue killer that's essentially taking on the identities of various statues within Gotham and killing people. Really good story arc, and 50 it wraps up. This was 45 through 49. Then we got Batman number 0, volume 1. This is a pretty good story, a pretty straightforward story, but it's when DC started to revamp all the number zeros. We talk about it a lot in Gotham by Geeks. Steam Man number 1. This is a story about a bunch of scientific engineers and adventurers that create this steam man that is used to fight off monsters in their time period in this post-apocalyptic world. In particular, they're going to invade a vampire kingdom. And at the end of one, they're not having too much luck. Then I started reading Iron Fist, The Living Weapon. This is, I gotta look up the guy. I think it's Cary Andrews. I basically wanted to read this to see if I wanted to get his new Image book. He's got a new Image book coming out. And I wanted to see, he's a writer, artist. Yeah, it's Cary Andrews. And, number one, like, hooked me. Like, I was hooked. And I've already read up, you know, this week was just number one, but I've already read, like, through six, which is kind of interesting because I forgot to put them into my database. But now they're in there. Really good story arc. It basically has this little girl come to see Iron Fist as he's with another woman and stuff, and get him to go to Kunlun. And a lot of this story arc is the same story arc. Like, I'm already going to get into seven, and I think it's like one huge story arc. I'm really enjoying it. Plus, it gives a lot of backstory about him as a boy, like when his father was looking for Kunlun, and, they all die in an avalanche, or well, the snow and the weather actually cause them to perish. But really enjoyed that issue. Next is a 4 out of 5. Man, I was tempted to give this a 5 out of 5, but this is Batman and the Monster Man. I have never read this before. And it takes place after year one. And I wish there was more of it. But, man, I'm drawing a blank. The Grendel. Who, I'll just look up Grendel. Matt Wagner. I was dropping a blank on his name. This is a Matt Wagner series. He did like two Batman series back to back, and this is one that I think I picked this. Yeah, I picked it for Gotham by Geeks and absolutely fell in love with it. It was a sequential to Batman Year One. It's like a must read if you're into that. Really cool arc if you're a Hugo Strange fan. We talk about it in detail on Gotham by Geeks, but it's 1 through 6 and fantastic series. I had bought it way back when it came out and never read it. And this was my first read and loved it. Not quite loved it because I had to give it a 4 out of 5, but now I'm going to get no 5 out of 5s, which I did love it. So I finally started Superman Lois and Clark 1 through 3. This series is amazing. This is like the Superman that I want to read. I am so glad that they gave Dan Jurgens this, but it's almost like pre-New 52 Superman and Lois in a relationship, and they have a kid, and it's awesome. And I think this is what's going to spawn off Super Son and Action Comics, because he's Dan Jurgens is taking over Action Comics, and Super Sons, I think, is going to have Jonathan and Damian as the Super Sons representing, Batman and Superman. So really enjoyed that. I can't speak highly enough. Matter of fact, I'm gonna put Batman and the Monster Man a 5 out of 5. Fuck it. The more I think about it, there's no way that that's a 4 out of 5. I loved it. The covers and art alone are just spectacular, and the story's really cool. Next 5 out of 5 was a Geek Brunch pick. I think I picked this one. I wanted to read it. Is Devolution. This is about in the future, in a post-apocalyptic world. In order to stop war, scientists invented a drug that would get rid of their religion. There's a they narrowed down in the brain that there was something in the brain that focused on religion and faith, and they thought that religion and faith had to do with the root of all wars and fighting. So they targeted that, and they released this like bomb that took out that part of the brain. And in doing so, it not only took that part out, but it devolved people. So they start being more like caveman and Neanderthal. So I don't know what they're trying to say, if religion makes you sophisticated or without it, you're an ape. I don't know. But makes for a really good story arc. I absolutely loved it. That's from Dynamite. And the writer is Rick Remender, and the artist is Jonathan Wayczech. No, Wayshack. And art is brilliant. Rick Remender is a master, especially when he's doing this things like Strange Girl and stuff that he did for Early Image, Fear Agent, and it's just like phenomenal stuff. The next one is a DC. It's Jack number one. It has to do with like a guy, a midlife crisis, that actually gets a pill that gives him powers, and his life is total crap. I absolutely love this book. I thought it worked on so many different levels. It's a Vertigo book. Then we got Detective Comics 618 through 621, and I'm gonna have to refresh my memory on this because we're so far ahead on Gotham by Geeks. I sometimes forget what these numbers are. 618. We're almost there. Oh, this is the Tim Drake stuff. Oh, this was brilliant. I absolutely love this stuff. This was Tim Drake's parents, and actually the death of the mother in 621, and they get kidnapped by a voodoo gang, and I am a sucker for voodoo, man. That's why I like Shadow Man so much, and Tales of the Zombie, like from Marvel. You bring in true voodoo and horror together, and I really dig that stuff, and this did it really well. It's by Alan Grant and Norm Breyfogel. And absolutely loved this story arc. It was brilliant. It was called Rite of Passage, Shadow on the Sun. And Tim Drake is just, I mean, he's got so much depth as a Robin. Like, in some, he's the best Robin. And also the one that only had his own series. None of the other Robins had their own series. Dick Grayson had his own backup and stuff in a lot of books, and even in Golden Age and Star Spangled Comics. But I don't know. When you talk about Robin, and don't compare it to Nightwing, Tim Drake is just the man. This series is brilliant. Plus, Norm Breyfogel, I've said a gazillion times, is my favorite Batman artist. And the last 5 out of 5 surprised me, because this is another Superman book. So, and I absolutely loved it. Like, they're done in ones, and I don't know if it's in context or not, but it doesn't matter. It's just a brilliant story. It's going through Superman as a kid, teenager, current time, and as he meets Lex, as he meets Bruce Wayne, as he meets Oliver Queen, before they're actually heroes. And actually loved it. It's by Max Landis, and different artist every issue. This was Nick Dragotta on the first one. The artist choices are brilliant for the time periods they're put in. Tommy Lee Edwards on the second one, and Joelle Jones on the third one. And I love Joelle Jones. So this really works. 5 out of 5. So, sorry. There's a lot of 5 out of 5s. We got Batman and the Monster Men, which I moved up, number 1 through 6. Superman, Lois and Clark, number 1 through 3. Devolution, number 1. Jack, number 1. Detective Comics, 618 through 621. And Superman, American Alien, number 1 through 4. I didn't even say who the artist was on the fourth volume. It was Jay Lee. Oh, love Jay Lee's art. Man, this book is good. I really, really dig Superman, Lois and Clark, and Superman, American Alien. I highly recommend both of them. They're my favorite Superman books right now. That's it for this week. Please leave us an iTunes review if you can. What else? I'm going to try to get off my ass and open up a Stitcher account for Geek Brunch. I have one for DC Noise, but I never did it for Geek Brunch. So if you're interested, let me know if you want to have it on Stitcher. Give me an IM or something. On Twitter, at Mike Myers Brunch, or Mike at comicbooknoise.com at email. And Facebook, we're Geek Brunch Podcast, and you can click the like there and follow all the episode threads there for all the podcasts on the Geek Brunch thread. That's it for now, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.